without Pesach.
Okay, we're going to continue the 13th chapter of the Tanya with the commentary of the Chassidus Mevu'ares. We're going to go to page Kuf Samach Aleph and read the Hakdoma, the introduction. We're still in the topic of the Beinoni. In the previous chapter, we said that the Beinoni has two sides to himself. On the one hand, we see that the Beinoni has reached a certain level where he has dominion and control over his thoughts, speech, and actions. To such a way, he'll never come to a sin actively. On the other hand, etzem harash shel nafsha abahamis hashechem b'chol hasmoni shebalev l'nispatol el hatov shel nafsha lokis. On the other hand, the essential evil of the animalistic soul that dwells in the left ventricle of the heart has not been nullified to the good of the godly soul. V'misorer b'tayvul in yonei olam hazeh v'tanugav, and it gets aroused for the pleasures of this world. However, the godly soul overcomes it and controls the animalistic soul that it's not able to bring forth its lustful desires to reality. The Perek Zeh, in this chapter, Yevarish Shneat studying the Beinoni b'harchava sabir. We're going to explain those two sides of the Beinoni in a more elaborate explanation. The Yevar Kate said, "Yuvan al pizat diktolosh and Chazal odas haBeinoni," and will understand how the rabbis and the Gemara refer to the Beinoni with the following expression, which is, which we're going to find out. Gam Yevar, okay. Gam Yevar esibas tauso shel Rabba sheichshav esas haBeinoni, and then we're going to see. We're going to come back to our original questions that we started long ago in the first introductory chapter of the Tanya.
475 pages ago.
Yes. That where...
3 years ago.
Where the mistake of Rabba was that he thought himself to be a Beinoni. He said, we're all like Beinoni. How could Rabba, such an amazing Tana, even make such a mistake that he's a Beinoni? Begin to answer some of these questions. Now we turn to page Kuf Samach Beis and begin the first section of chapter 13. In the bold, says the Tanya, now we understand the words of our rabbis that say the following words. How do we describe a Beinoni? A Beinoni, ze veze shoftan. These and those, at the bracket say, the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra, are shofet. They rule over. Better yet, shoftan means they
judge.
Tichsiv, as it brings a pasuk into Tehillim, Kiyamod limin evyon, they stand to his right, a poor man, uloshia to save him, mishoftei nafsho, from the judges of his soul. But here's the important point. It says the Beinoni, it says these, this and this, the Yesod and the Yetzirah are shoftan. They judge. Lo amru zev is that moishlim chas v'shom. It doesn't use the expression, the Yetzir Tov and Yetzirah rule him, God forbid. They don't use that. Now he's going to explain. Razal Amru al Beinoni Shishnei Yetzirah Yetzir Tov Yetzirah Ra Shoifti Meisim. The rabbis say the Yetzirah and the Yetzir Tov judge the person. And that's what he brings to Pasuk. The Pasuk says, L'zenemer Kiyamot, etc., etc. At the end of the Pasuk says, L'hoshia Mishoifti Nasho. To save him, Hashem is there to save the person from the judges of his soul. Lashon Rabim, which is plural. Shmamina, which means to say, Yesh Ra'adam Sheyesh L'Nafsho Bei Shoftim. A person has two judges inside of himself that has to be helped with. So what's that talking about? What does the Pasuk mean when it's saying that? V'hine, L'fiyah Muvan Arog L'Shav Abinoni Ho'adam Sheyesh L'O Mechzus Kuzum Mechzav V'Nos. The common understanding, which is not the correct understanding of Beinoni, is of someone who is half meritorious and have sins. What would that mean? If that's the meaning of a Beinoni, it means Nimtza Sheina Yetzer Tov Heina Yetzer Hara Moshe V'Neinu. The Beinoni, come out, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara both rule over the Beinoni. The Yetzer Tov to the extent that it gets into the mitzvahs, the Yetzer Hara to the extent it gets into Averos. Bebechinas, kishazeh comes and afal. Like we've explained, when one rises, the other one falls. They take turns ruling. Hang, which we mean to say, when a person sins, the Yetzer must show up. The Yetzer rules over him. When a person learns Torah, does mitzvahs or refrains from doing averos, the Yetzer Tov must show up. The Yetzer Tov rules over him. If, according to our incorrect understanding, that that's what a Beinoni is, it should say that both Yetzers rule over the person, takes turn ruling over the hem. Right? However, Bohem, the low, next page, but it shouldn't say Zev Zesh Shofatan. Both of them are judging him. Ah, now see how this makes sense now. Ah, Chapiyah Mavarlel, but based on what we explained in the 12th chapter, Shabbeinoni Ein Bo Shum Cheder, Beinoni has no sins. Remember, he has no sins. He's not called a Russia for one moment of his Beinoni existence. Now you understand why they use the expression judges and not rules. Well, he's going to explain. Continues the Balatan. Because if the Yetzer would have any moment of dominion and control over the small city of the person, even for a brief moment, Nikra Rasha Bosha is a Rasha at that moment. This Bala already explained early in the 11th chapter. Shekesher Yesh Li Yetzara is Shehi Shlitum Em Shalab Irkatana Huaguf. If the Yetzara has any control over the body, even for a little moment, even on a small thing, Hariyadu Nikra Rasha Bosha, he's called a Rasha at that time. Beinoni is never called for one moment a Rasha, as we mentioned before. The Yetzer cannot rule ever for a moment. And that's why the rabbis were precise when they said about a Beinoni. Zev zeh shofatan. Both of them judge, not that they rule. Because regarding Yetzirah, it only judges, it doesn't rule, as we will explain. Continues the Tanya. Ella, what's the pshat? A Yetzirah in Iraq, al derech mashal. But the Yetzirah is only, as we'll use an allegory, kemo shofet v'dayin. He's like a judge who rules. Ha'omer da'itamish. He says his judgment. I rule, but there's more than one judge who sits on the court. You have a judgment. You ask three judges their opinion. So the judge gives his opinion. Doesn't mean we act on the opinion. So the Yetzer is a judge. He says his opinion on the matter. My opinion is, let's have a good time. That's my opinion. So let's get involved.
So what's he judging? He's not judging the person.
He's judging what the next activity should be.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's the final ruling. Mm-hmm. A judge gives his opinion. The Supreme Court.
Right?
It was a 6-3 decision. So what do we care about the other three decisions? Not important.
It should be a minority opinion.
It's a minority opinion. Because there could be other judges who argue on him. And now a decision has to be made between them. Mm-hmm. And the law is like the one who makes the decision. So a judge doesn't mean you act on what the judge says. That's all the Tanya. So now the Chassid verse is going to explain. Let's
an offering of options.
That's right. Hashayveit b'divir azal elu. The way the rabbis are explaining who is the judge? Who hadayan? He is the one who makes rulings. We now are comparing the Yetzer to a judge who renders his opinion in a judgment. If a judge says a judgment and nobody argues with him, then that's the way it's going to go. If there's one judge, he's the only judge, and he gives his opinion, that's what's going to be. That's how they're going to have to act. Ulam, but kasher, next page. Yesh no shofet v'dayin acher chalukah. But if there's another judge who argues on him, ozaya hachra bein shneim nasis al piv shaldayin shlish yamachriya bechad meashneim. Now, how do we decide? Well, we go with the third judge. The third judge splits the tide. That's why you always have an odd number of judges in Torah law and in secular law. It comes out that way. Whenever you have two people arguing and one makes the hachra, the decision, we go like the one who makes the final ruling. Since there's two against one, you go after the majority. So let's see how that plays itself out inside the person. Continues the Balatanya. The Yetzahara gives his opinion on the matter from the left ventricle. It explains the chassidim verse. V'kach gam v'nimshol, so it is in the allegory of life. Hayetzahara omer daito b'chalos mon shabalev. The Yetzahara gives his opinion on the left ventricle of the heart. Hainu shuma arer b'taiva b'leiv. He arouses the desire in the heart. L'tavas ha'ilam ha'sevet ha'negav, the pleasures of this world. Bein b'heter, bein b'yishchah shalom. It doesn't matter if it's permitted or not permitted. He gives his opinion. Because the main essence of the animalistic soul are the drives and the bad midos that are found in the left ventricle. And the Yetzer wants, and that should be the ruling and the final judgment. Should be that way. That the lust should come to fruition and activity. That's the Yetzer Hara's take on it. Umehalev, but from the heart, olalamoach, it goes from the left ventricle to the brain, lahar, but think about it. Says the chassidim verse, la'acher, shahat taiva moreres belev, once the taiva arouses the heart, harehi olamaleo, it comes up by itself, umelalamoach, comes to the brain, lachshul har, but think about it. Okay, so then what happens? Continues the time. So now the second judge immediately argues. It's the godly soul of the brain that manifests the brain. It spreads out into the right ventricle of the heart, the place where the Yetzer Tov exists. Explains the Chassidus Mavaris. Since the opinion of the Yetzer comes to the brain, and the brain is Makom Mishkan and Nefesh Elokis. It's a place of the godly soul. So now the second judge immediately argues with him. Shua Nefesh Elokis with the godly soul. Which expresses his opinion that his desire is to not allow that taiva to express itself in thought, speech, or action. In action and speech, and also to push off, he decides to push off even the thought, thinking with both hands. Because the godly soul won't even agree to even a thought of evil. So that's the second opinion. It's the second judge. Yes, okay, more than that. It's not only the brain. Does the godly soul express its dissent in opinion with the animalistic soul, meaning with your seichel and your ratzon? Elohim ispashetas, it spreads from the brain, gam l'chalali mini shablev, into the right ventricle. Hainu shenever shalikis visoreres berik shalev. That now the godly soul arouses with feelings. Negar adeya shal yetzahara, against the opinion of the yetzahara. As explained earlier, that the godly soul spreads from the brain to the right ventricle, the place where the good midos are, which is the Yetzer Tov in the person. Okay, explains the brackets now, the finer print of life. So now we understand when the rabbis use the expression in a Beinoni that both the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara give a judgment. That each Yetzer is only a judge who gives his opinion with the greatest power. Yotze comes out, Shigama never shall lokis, that the godly soul, Eina Ela Shefet, even the godly soul is only a judge, Velo Moshal, and not a ruler. Remember, because it says, as we mentioned earlier, Shema Husan, Vats Musan, Shoshtena Foshas, Hein Betak Vurusan, Esal Benoni, Lokfi Fakoshi, Shachashon Seni, they're both powerfully there, neither one, neither soul is subjugated to the other. They're there. They're not vanquished. In the Beinoni, the Yetzirah is there completely. It hasn't been vanquished. However, its opinion isn't listened to. That's the difference. You know, it's like if you have people on the Supreme Court, you know, we don't have this, but let's say you could say, so one guy, he's the dissenting opinion, he screams all day long. Says, fine, but you're outnumbered, goodbye. But it's still an opinion, and it's recorded. Now, they don't have this, but what if they would censure the judge? Well, they say, you know what? You can't even render an opinion. You're a judge? They don't have this. You're a judge, but you can't even, we don't want to hear your opinion. We don't want to hear what you have to say. That would already be a tzaddik. Because the tzaddik, the yetzer that's there, is muted. It's muted.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the way we allow a normal court, everyone gets to express their opinion. Okay, so the yetzer is still there. He gives his opinion. He's just not listened to. He's outnumbered. But he's still there.
We use the word judge. Isn't it more like an advisor than
a judge? Well, a judgment gives an opinion. A judge gives an opinion.
When we first started talking about judge, I was thinking about a verdict on
no, that's what we're taken. Saying. No, it's giving an opinion on what is to be done.
So it's an advisor.
No, sometimes courts can mandate what you have to do.
Right, okay.
They have a custody case. They say, we are deciding that this is how things are going to be. Two people are going to the case and say, listen, you owe me money. You don't owe me money. Who has to pay?
Okay.
Okay, we're going to tell you our opinion, and based on our opinion, you have to do what you have to do. Last paragraph. That's not in the contradiction. That doesn't contradict the next part, that the Beinoni controls the animalistic soul that doesn't spread through the body into act, speech, and action, and thought. To the point, it's not a contradiction, he's not called a Russia even for a moment. That's not a contradiction. That control, that doesn't come from the godly soul itself. So where is that control coming from? LSC, was she the Zohi? But the control comes from where? To turn the page. Continues the Balatanya. In other words, we've got two judges. The left ventricle says, let's have a good time. The right, the brain says, no, let's not have a good time.
Casey, no, let's have a good time spiritually.
Yes.
Now you got
the two sides. So now we need the third one to decide which way it's going to go.
Who makes the decision?
And the law is like the opinion that decides. So who's the one that decides? This is Hashem.
There you go.
He will always rule with the conservative party. He'll always rule with the Yetzer Tov. Because that's what our rabbis say. If Hashem wouldn't help you, you can't overcome it. Wow. Let's see what the explanation says. With this debate between the two judges, Hashem will always rule with the Yetzer Tov side. You know, it's like on the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, that's an important guy. Because he's usually the swing vote.
Mm-hmm. Swing vote.
That's why the president has a lot to decide who's on that court. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, if the Supreme Court justice, he's a conservative, well, that's how the court will generally go because there's a lot of tiebreakers. Right? That's what that is. Mom is like a court four against four or just those lower courts that have three judges. I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the halachas is in government. But the circuit courts or you want to take your appeals courts.
Yeah.
The appeals courts, I think, have three judges. I think so. So that the main thing is who's the third judge? That's how you're going to have it. So that's the one who's going to decide how it goes. Clamoring to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no sein lenefesh alokis, ezer milamala. Hashem gives the godly soul divine assistance from above. That is able to control the animalistic soul, and doesn't allow it to spread the rest of the body, to bring its desires to action, but even to keep on thinking. That's what the rabbis say. If Hashem wouldn't help, you wouldn't be able to do it. Hainu, meaning to say, the end of the day, how is the godly soul able to overcome the animalistic soul? It's because Hashem is helping it.
Heavenly help.
Look at footnote 11. I didn't forget about the footnotes. They're just not that significant. Hamavur b'fnim, as is explained inside, shebeinoni ein shlitu l'nevesh elokis misad atzmo al nevesh abahamis. The godly soul itself essentially does not have control over the animalistic soul. It needs help from above to overcome the animalistic soul and the Yetzirah. So this idea, it doesn't mean it has the power to stop it from doing bad things. In other words, remember, the guy would never do an Avera. Remember, Beinoni would never, ever do an Avera. Right? You remember, we already defined a Beinoni. He never really wants to do an Avera. So what does it mean? So what, it's not a question of yes or no. We already said Beinoni would never think of doing an Avera. So what are we saying? Are we saying that, you know, it's nip and tuck to the end, and with Hashem helping it, okay, now I won't do the Avera. No, we said a Beinoni doesn't want to ever do an Avera. So then what's the idea of what's it controlling if it's never going to do an Avera anyway? El Kavonim say he, what's it mean? It means leher hurim roim ha'olim l'moch alem. It's the pop-ups. Those thoughts. A thought pops up. That, now of course he's not going to do it because he's going to keep thinking about it. Or to push it away right away. That already needs some divine assistance. We'll be able to push it away right away. Or Beis, Latavia said, what about permitted pleasures? Okay. In other words, if permitted pleasures, where the Beinoni needs divine assistance from Hashem to control himself over those, that he shouldn't do them in the wrong way. The permitted pleasures, but not too many permitted pleasures. That is the areas. It's not a question of is he going to do an Avera or not.
He's
going to do an Avera. He never wants to do an Avera. The Yetzirah says, so what's so bad if I have another steak? So that, the Yetzirah Tov says, no, you should have another steak, but it's not strong enough to stop it from eating another steak. It's not strong enough to push away the pop-up. So that's what you need Hashem to help you out over there. Continuing in the Tanya. So that's very important, because that's an important footnote. Otherwise, you'd think his mom is struggling between doing a mitzvah and avera. Mm-hmm. But we already said the Beinoni never wants to do an avera. But he does need help. But nobody's ruling. Even the Yetzer Tov is not ruling. It's not ruling. Now, v'ha'ez, back to the Tanya. V'ha'ezer hi'arash mer'or Hashem al nevesh lokis. The assist is the light that shines from Hashem on the godly soul. That it has dominance over the foolishness of the Yetzirah. Like we said, darkness has over light, as we explained earlier. Explains the commentary. This assistance from above, who's Agufa, what is that? Hashem implanted into the godly soul by nature this wisdom and this light. Once the person reveals the godly soul, then the evil of the animal soul gets pushed away. Umameila, consequently, the Or Hashem from the light that illuminates Hameir ben Evesh Elokis. Just like light has dominion and control over the darkness, that it just automatically gets pushed away the darkness. So does automatically the foolishness and the shell of the other side of the left ventricle from the intelligence of the godly soul. It gets pushed away. That's what the pasuk means. He stands to the right of the poor man, to save him from the judges of his soul. Means Hashem stands to the right side of the Yetzer Tov. That's in the right ventricle. See, that's standing to the right. Shebelev of the heart. Those Messiah lo and helps him. Okay, we got two footnotes, 12 and 13. This light business going on over here. that Hashem illuminates into the godly soul. 12. Ki ha'arazu, this illumination, shemeir milamala al-nefshel, a higher illumination from Hashem into the godly soul, nikurak b'shem ezer, that's called an assist. Help. Like a person who helps his friend. Let's say your friend's trying the best that he could do. So now I'm helping him out a little bit. That's what it is over here. When the person makes the efforts to reveal his godly soul, then you get the assist from above. That the animal's soul gets pushed away by itself. Through the divine light that filters through the animalistic soul. But if you don't make the effort to even reveal the godly soul, the light won't help. You see, in other words, Hashem is shining the light, but you've got to be receptive to that light. You've got to wake up your godly soul, and then it gets the light. It was a Yuvan Ketzat, Titachim Etzir Shal Rasha. Now you understand how it's possible for someone to be a Russia. How could there be a Russia? Lam Russia, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zalem Shalom. Hashem helps the godly soul. How could there be a Russia? Hashem always is shining light on the godly soul. The answer is, so Yisrael Shalom, Zalem Shalom, is part of the question. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zalem Shalom, it should make the light, that light stronger than the darkness. The answer is, Ke Russia, Nenu, Misya, Geya, Legalos, Ba'atzmo, Es Nafshu, Loki. That's the key line. The Russia does not make big efforts
to
reveal
in.
The godly soul, that it will then be receptive to the light that shines in. That's the difference between the Russia and the Beinoni. 13. Leil Perkid Bezins Barisha Koch Shesh Bodanli Sapek Vlimshal Koch Ataiva Shabalev Bob Machmashen Yonim. Already explained in the 12th chapter, the ability for the person to control himself from these taivas of the heart comes from two aspects. Teva ha-nefesh, shemoach, sholid alev b'talosh. Remember we said, the nature of the soul is the brain controls the heart by nature. And beis, yisunar kedusha, shal klipa shuk, yisunar alechoshech. The addition of the holiness, that's the addition of light over darkness. Okay, so those are the two things. Now here the Tanya doesn't say both. Here the Tanya seems to bring the second aspect of the light, not the brain over the heart, just the light over the darkness. Not that he didn't bring that the brain controls the heart. So that you have to look in the Unim and Nun Aleph why he doesn't bring that, to see how the Unim in the back explains that. Are we going to do that or not? We'll see in a minute. I prepared this over a week ago. Yep, we got it. Page Shin Ayin Test. Shin Ayin Test, left-hand side of the page. Now, Hatam Shetzarech Ezer Miyuchad Nilamala Lios Yisro Lenefesh Alokis Alenefesh Abaham Eskis Nor Minechoshech. Why do we need this divine gift of the light from God to shine through the godly soul, to have light dispel the darkness? Why do we need it? Why isn't it? Here's the question. Why isn't it enough? The nature that the brains will whip brawn any day. Right? The brain of the godly soul, we already said, is stronger than the heart's feelings. So why is that? Okay. Because that's where the godly soul is in the brain. Skip the brackets. So Leil, but Perikid Beis Medav Radam Shemi Spal Karoy Beis Atfilis Or Regish Goli Shalavi Yer. Remember, we explained in the 12th chapter, when a person davens properly at the time of davening and says Shema and all that good stuff, remember, he gets big brains, right? So that arouses overt feelings of love and fear for Hashem. V'chein Gam Lachet Filo. Therefore, after prayer, Avshe Kvar Nistale Kamochem Degalos. Even though the big brains are gone, the Kamochem Nisher Rosh Merk. We said there's that mark, that impression is still there. That will enable that there will be no ascent of the Yetzer Hara's opinion to the brain. That's when it means the brain overpowers the heart. A person prays good, the brain overpowers the heart. But in this case, we're speaking in a case where the brain does not have the impression of prayer anymore. He's not in a situation where his brain has what to re-access in the recesses of its brain For example, Udukma Balaisik Bemtaskov, a businessman in the middle of his business. He's so involved in his business, I guess the impression of davening is already gone. It's already gone. Then you don't have the brain, you know, working on the heart anymore.
You don't have the assistance.
But you still need a victory over the Yetzer Tov, over the Yetzer Ra. That's why you need God's special help. You need that additional firepower of the godly light to give that godly soul something over the animalistic soul. Just like what? Like the light over the darkness. And that enables the animal, the godly soul to always overpower the animalistic soul. So what he's saying is that you don't always need the third judge. If you prayed strong and the rest of the day is able to keep the impression of the prayer, then you don't need God's assistance at all. The brain is stronger than the mind. And if you made yourself a big brain during davening, that big brain stays throughout the day. And you don't need godly assistance. When do you need godly assistance? When the type of rest of the day is so profoundly confusing and totally taking away, sucking out all impressions of davening when you're under extreme stress. Then you need the godly soul to shine in, but that only happens if you arouse your godly soul. So you arouse your godly soul by
activate,
by thinking.
Activate.
Say,
but if the impression is gone, can you act?
You always have that ability.
Well, you can't connect.
You don't have
Hashem.
That strong feeling, but you still know you're connected to Hashem. And that's where a small tefillah wouldn't hurt.
That's right.
A small tefillah to say, Hashem, I might lose this now.
A booster.
I'm beginning to think about things I really shouldn't be thinking about. Hashem, help me! Help me! Arouse, you know, a little tefillah. Do something that wakes up that soul a little bit. Spend a few minutes. That's where mincha could be a big help also.
Huge.
In the middle of the day. When you're on that stress, I think I'll say a couple kapitlach of tehillim.
Yeah.
Let me get back to my soul.
Yeah.
If I get back to my soul, then Hashem will illuminate. That's the key. That's the key. And that's the idea of Hashem has to help us. Who needs the help? The Beinoni needs the help, not from doing an overt Avera, as we've explained, but from those subtleties of the pop-ups or the indulging in permitted things that aren't Averos, but still it's too much for the Beinoni as well. Okay, so that's the judgments, the judging, the rulings of the Supreme Court within the person.